FBI Studios. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Roth. I'm starting to feel like our investigation into Javier and his friends is much more of a spider web than a ball of yarn. We're not just pulling on a string looking to see what's on the other end. Instead, every interview leads us to someone else. The group keeps expanding out in all directions, but everyone has some tie-in back to Javier at the center. In Alex Vulon's interview, he mentioned a girl named Jessica who had her own set of odd experiences with Austin Alba. So after I spoke with Nick Crum, I circled back to Jessica. I'm trying to fill in all the gaps and leave no stone unturned when it comes to the original investigation into this group. And with every interview I hear, I find myself more curious about how this group was ever cleared by police and why the jury wasn't allowed to hear any of this. I first listened to this interview because I wanted to hear firsthand about Jessica's interactions with Austin Alba. But like so many others, there's a lot more to it than that. This is Season 12, Episode 23, Jessica Henry.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if she told you, Jerry looks like I'm a detective with the sheriff's office. I guess Crystal, you talked to Crystal about Austin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm the investigator who's working on the Becky Creedy murder case.
Uh-huh.
And I guess you may have some information related to this case?
Yeah. I was telling Crystal because I know him often because Javier's roommate, which I'm sure you know, the roommate, which is Becky's boyfriend, was Austin, and because when it all happened, like we all know he hated her like a lot, and he was kind of weird. So at first, he didn't really think anything, like, why is he being weird? But then, like, a couple weeks after it had happened, we were all at his house, and like, he popped open his trunk, and there was like gas tanks and shovels and like, trash bags. It was really weird stuff, and like we were trying to look to see what it all was, and we were trying to ask him questions, and he got like really upset with us. And then when we arrived at the apartment, he had stuff in trash bags in his closet. It was just really strange. And then he would say comments. He told me one time, and then he had recently told a friend of mine. What happened was my friend was at the mall, and girl. Was,
pardon me.
And, some girls were giving him a hard time, and he came up to them and he said, do you want me to say something? Do you remember what happened?
The girls giving him a hard time.
My friend.
Okay.
And then Austin had come up to my friend and had said, oh, do you want me to say something? Because you remember the last bitch that I hated, what happened to her? And he had said that comment a few times within the last few months. That kind of like, didn't really say anything, and I tried talking to my friends to tell them, you know, what we had found in his apartment, and like, just, it's really, really peculiar, you know? And then after he had said that, my friend had called me and asked me to tell him what I saw again, because he believed me that there Austin had something. It was just really off, and we knew how much he hated her. So, I mean, we weren't sure, and then my friend told me that he knew for sure that there was a sawed-off shotgun under his bed. He had seen it, Austin had taken it out and showed my friends at one point, I guess, that it saw a shotgun. And so with that and then all the stuff he had found in his trunk and his apartment after, a couple weeks after everything happened, plus all his comments, it just seemed off. And so finally, that's why I decided to say something, especially a couple weeks ago when, she said that comment, well, you remember what happened to the last bitch. You know, no one else wanted to say anything, and I felt better if I said something would be wrong, it would be better than not say anything.
True. Did you know Becky?
I had met her at a few parties. I didn't know her that well.
Okay.
But I've met her at parties, and she was always around, and we were all hanging out.
So, your first name legally is it Jessica?
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
Renee.
And your last name?
Henry.
H-E-N-R-Y?
Uh-huh.
Where do you live at, Jessica?
Thousand
Pounds. What's the address? Desert Moon?
Uh-huh.
And your home phone number? So, tell me what you know about Becky.
She was,
Like, how long have you known Becky?
Oh, just for a few months, and I knew she went to Palm Desert, and then she started chilling up off him, because my friend Javier liked her a lot, but she was dating his cousin, so there was a lot of, like, tension right there, and then, after everything that happened, everyone kind of went just downhill, and, I mean, I don't really know anything personally about her, I just know that she was dating Javier's cousin, and there was, like, and Javier was all heartbroken about it.
So, you consider yourself a friend of Becky?
Not really a friend, more of an acquaintance. Like, we knew each other, but we weren't close or anything.
So, you just had mutual friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were the same circle of people.
And you know her for, you said, 3 months before she died?
Just a couple months. It wasn't very long at all.
Okay. Before I get pregnant, what's your birthday, Jessica? So you knew Javier?
Yeah, I've known him for a long time.
Okay, what's a long time?
Since he started high school, freshman year.
Okay. So what was Javier and Becky's relationship?
It was really weird. Like, I thought they were dating, but I guess she was dating his cousin, because she would, like, lead him on and be constantly flirting with him and making him think that she liked him, but she didn't. She was dating his cousin. So, like, he was just, like, madly in love with her and would do anything that she said. And that was, like, his focus. Like, he stopped talking to all of us for a while because he was always with her.
How well did you know Javier?
Pretty well. We hung out a lot with all of our friends.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because there's different, you know, there's friends who just kind of hang out, and then there's more close friends, you know, who know little intimate details about certain people. Would you consider yourself just a friend of Javier or a close friend?
Just a friend.
Okay. I mean, would he confide in certain things into you that maybe other people, other friends may not know?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
One thing I do remember him saying is it was a couple, I think it was the same night we had found those things at Austin's house. He showed up at the apartment, and he was really drunk. I'm not sure if he was drunk or hot or what he was.
Okay, whose apartment is this?
Austin.
Okay.
And Javier's cousin. And he was, like, crying, and he was telling, we were trying to talk to him, because we were kind of upset that he was, you know, behaving so strangely. And he was saying that he's seen things and heard things that we wouldn't understand, and that he doesn't want to talk about.
Did Becky and Javier ever date?
I don't think so, not to my knowledge. She was just, like, let him on. And all of her friends kind of didn't like her for that, because he thought they were dating, but they weren't.
Who thought they were dating?
Javier, that he considered that was his, like, woman,
okay.
But they weren't. They weren't at all.
I mean, did they ever, like, make out or do things like that?
No, I've never seen them, but they spent, like, she would sleep over at his house, and he would sleep over at her house, or things like that, and they were always together. Always.
And then did they have a sexual relationship?
Not to my knowledge, no. I never really asked about that.
So it was just them being together all the time. Javier may have thought, you know, they were boyfriend and girlfriend?
Maybe, yeah.
Without the sexual relationship?
Yeah, like, he had, like, that kind of attachment to her.
Okay. Why would Becky treat him like that?
I'm not really sure, just because maybe she knew that he liked her, so she took advantage of that, knowing that, oh, well, he likes me, I could use this, you know, for my advantage.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of girls do that.
Well, did she treat other men like that too, or guys like that?
I never really saw her flirt with any of the other guys or anything. She was kind of always with him.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know Jacob?
Very, very hardly. I've met him, just a hi, I'm by, oh, hi, I'm Jacob kind of thing.
Do you know how Becky and Jacob began to be a couple?
No, I have no idea about the relationship. I just know that they were dating.
Well, what can you tell me about, since Javier and Jacob are cousins, right?
Uh-huh.
And Jacob is dating Becky, and Javier wants to date Becky. How does that work out? Doesn't that put a strain between Jacob and Javier?
You know, to be honest, I don't really know. I don't know between them, really. I just know from what Javier would tell me or what our friends would tell me about what was going on. I never really got in the middle of it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So did Javier tell you personally that he was in love with Becky or really liked her?
Yeah, and then when she had died, he was, like, devastated and was always crying and how much he loved her and that he loved forever and just stuff like that, you know.
What about before she died? What were some of the things he would tell you about her?
It was the same. Like, they were still always together. Like, our friends were trying to get him to realize that they weren't together, that there wasn't a relationship, that she was just, like, you know, taking advantage of him. And he stopped talking to all of us and basically hated all the guys for trying to help him out, you know. And then
Becky did?
No, Javier.
Javier started getting mad at everyone because of that?
He pretty much just isolated himself from us. And then we didn't see him for a long time, probably, until after, because he was always with her, I guess.
Now, these friends, who are these friends? What are some of their names?
Alex Luan and Nick Crum and Corey Donovan. Those were like his best friends. They were always together.
Okay. And when you say the friends tried to talk to them and tell them about, you know, Becky's true feelings, mm-hmm. These are the people you're talking about, Nick Crum, Alex?
Yeah. And they would always just try, because I mean, I've been around some of the conversations and they're like, man, you need to understand that there isn't a relationship, you know.
What was Alex's last name?
Fulon.
Is that a guy?
Yeah.
You know how you spell the last name?
Foulon.
And who was another person?
Corey Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
G-O-N-O-V-A-N.
Why do you think Javier was so fascinated with Becky if she never allowed him to get beyond, you know, just a friendship level? You know what I mean?
Yeah. To be honest, I think because he never really had a girlfriend. Like, he wasn't, like, in high school, girls weren't really prone to liking him. He was kind of immature, you know, kind of like looking for girls to be kind of dorky, you know? So I think the fact that he was allowed to have such a close relationship with the girl just, like, made him attach himself to that, you know? Like, oh, wow, this girl's letting me, like, be close to her. And I think he just kind of got attached to that.
I mean, was Javier ever considered gay? Some other people had one?
Honestly, I think some people kind of thought about it just because he kind of, some of his ways of approaching people seem kind of homosexual, but I think a lot of it was just him joking. I think that's just how he kids around.
What about you? Did you ever think he was gay?
At first I did, because you never saw him with girls, but then I figured that he really wasn't, because when girls were available, he would try hard to approach them, you know?
So he just wasn't lady friendly.
Yeah.
Was
not a ladies man.
How old are you?
19.
Did you go to Palm Desert?
No, I went to Cathedral City.
Okay.
With those guys.
So you don't really know Jacob. Do you know anything about Jacob?
All I remember about him is that when everything had happened, I was asking Austin questions about it because he would know a lot because he lived with him. And I guess he was saying that Jacob, so I asked him, is he sad because of like, what happened to his girlfriend? And he said that there was nothing, he was fine. Like, he acted like it was no big deal. But maybe he was not emotional, I don't know.
What was Jacob's relationship like with Becky, you know, that weekend she died? Were they still going out? Were they broken up?
As far as I know, yes. I think, I remember then Austin was telling me that Jacob wanted to, didn't really like her anymore, like, was kind of over her. But that, I mean, that's not something I know for sure. Like, I wasn't in full detail.
What about Javier? Did he ever tell you anything about Jacob's relationship, whether it was getting better, getting worse, or...
No, he never talked about his cousin at all.
Did he like Jacob? Did Javier like Jacob?
Yeah, they were like, he used to talk to their brothers. And then after things happened, he practically lived at their apartment for a few weeks. Like, he would just disappear there for a long time.
Javier did?
Yeah.
So, how do you know Austin?
I had met him at a party at Javier's house, and then when I started working here, he happened to work here as well. So it was a coincidence.
Are you still working?
No, he was fired, like, December, November.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because he lied about having jury duty. So.
Okay. So, let's talk about Austin then. What type of person is he?
Very strange. Very strange.
And how do you mean?
He's just like one of those guys who's like really smart, and he uses that, like, he's extremely arrogant, and just when you talk to him, the things he has to talk about, like, he was talking one time about how he builds weapons, and he was getting into just weird, we all kind of looked at him and were like, you're strange, like, why would you, he used to have a butterfly knife that he'd always pull out and think he was cool showing off. And at one point I had told him that not to ever take that out at me again because he would whip it out kind of aggressively and we didn't like it. So we had crime and he just told him don't ever, you know, that's when he started stop going over to his apartment because he'd always take that stupid thing out.
And you say we, who's we?
Me and my sister and my best friend and then some other friends.
Who's your best friend?
Crystal Lee.
Crystal?
Lee.
Okay. Is that the Crystal, Crystal Fabian?
No.
That person?
No.
Okay. You know Crystal Fabian?
No.
Okay. Who did you originally tell this information to in order for me to be here?
Crystal. Oh, yeah, Crystal Fabian. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, my manager, Crystal.
Okay. See, I don't know who these people are, so I'm trying to make a connection.
Yeah, Crystal Granado is the one that I spoke to because I knew her husband was a detective.
That's right. I keep calling her. I don't know why I was calling her Fabian. I met Granados.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Crystal Granados. She works here?
Yeah, she's my manager.
Okay. And that's who you told?
Yeah, because I knew her husband was a detective, and I felt kind of comfortable then rushing into a police station.
That's fine. Now, Crystal Lee, your best friend, is that also Crystal Granados, or is that someone else?
No, her name's Crystal Lee Roswan. Like, her full name is Crystal Lee.
Okay, so that's a good person.
Yeah. If you check his MySpace, I know this sounds really, really dumb. Like, on his MySpace, he has one picture of him with a sniper rifle. And it says something dumb, like, you can run, but you only die tired. And, like, he's just very off.
Do you know his, what's his MySpace name?
It just says Austin Alba.
Is he still living with Jacob?
I have no idea. As far as I know, yeah, he still lives there. I'm not sure. I have to talk to him.
So he's kind of weird because he's always showing off his butterfly knife and has a fascination with guns.
Yeah.
You said he had a sniper rifle?
Yeah, and a picture on his
MySpace. What's a sniper rifle?
I don't know if he has a picture with it on his MySpace.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it personally. It's just a picture of him holding one with the army gear on.
How do you know that if you didn't see it?
Because it says on the picture.
I mean, you've seen the picture?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You've seen the picture on the MySpace?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it on there.
Okay, so he's wearing army outfit and has a rifle?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever personally seen him with a gun?
No, I've never personally.
Now, you said he hated Becky?
Yeah.
Well, why did he hate Becky?
To be honest, I don't think there's a reason. He hated the fact that he thought she was, essentially a bitch. Basically, how he would put it, he couldn't stand her. She was always out of the apartment, and he would always show Jesus that she was not allowed out of that apartment when he wasn't there. So I guess she would go into his room, and I guess she just really annoyed him, and he just couldn't stand her.
I mean, trying to find out why. I mean, okay, she acted like a bitch, but as far as being annoyed by her or going in her room, what was the issue there? Did Becky know something about Austin, or did Austin like her and she didn't give him the time of day?
I have no idea. He was just telling me that he just hated her because he couldn't stand her. He thought she was obnoxious and stupid and hated her even being in the apartment with him. He made it a point to plan his schedule for work so he could be at the apartment when he knew she was going to be there, so he could make sure that she wasn't to be in the apartment, or at least in the room.
So he didn't give a reason for telling you that he hated Becky?
No, he just, other than that, he couldn't stand her.
Did they ever have a confrontation? Or? Argument?
Yeah, they used to get in arguments all the time. That's when she would come over. I know he would talk about how he would like yell at her and tell her that she's dumb.
Anything beyond normal?
Not to my knowledge, no.
You know, like any threats? You know, I'm gonna kick your butt. And
not to my knowledge, like he wouldn't ever go into detail. He was always very vague.
Okay, so now you're talking about this incident where you saw something trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when that was?
Not the exact date. It was within a few weeks after everything had happened. It was after what? After Becky had died.
Okay.
It was a couple weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks afterwards.
Is this something you personally saw on the trunk?
Yeah.
Where were you at?
We were at a grocery store. And he had opened it to put things into the trunk, and then there was some garbage bags and a gas tank and a shovel, and we all kind of looked at him. And he just started laughing and kept trying to, like, keep us from messing with it.
Who was with you?
My sister and my best friend and then two other friends of ours.
What was your sister's name?
Monica.
And this is your best friend?
Yeah.
And that was?
Crystal Lee, Roslyn.
What's her last name?
Roslyn. R-O-S-S-W-O-R-N.
R-O-S-S.
W-O-R-N.
And there was a third person, you said?
It was my sister's friend and her boyfriend.
Okay.
There's five
of. So he opens up the trunk to put something in there, and you saw a shovel?
Yeah, the shovel and the gas tank, and there was some trash bags. It just all looked really off, so we were, like, trying to joke about it. We were all trying to go through it and see where everything was in there, and he wouldn't let us.
What kind of gas can?
It was, like, one of those.
Like metal, plastic?
It was plastic.
Okay, big, small?
It was like medium size. Like one that you could fit enough gas in and carry it.
I mean, did he run out of gas in his car a lot?
No. No. Not just my mom. He never
did. He ever say why he had this stuff in his trunk?
No, he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't talk about it. We were asking questions because we thought it was strange. Like, he had all these trash bags and all these things in there. He wouldn't talk about it.
You ever see him act violent?
Yeah. One time, that same night, I had me and one of the my friends had walked outside, and then when my sister and my best friend tried to go out to get me, he had, it's not really violent, but like he was really aggressive towards me. He had jumped off the balcony and threatened them and told them to get back into the apartment, and then had locked the door and then sat them on the couch and then had taken out his bed.
Why did he threaten them?
Because he didn't want them to go outside to go get me, because he said and then when I had come back and I started yelling at him, he told me because if they were loud, then the cops would be called, and he didn't want the cops to be called.
Was this like a party or something?
Yeah, it was like a small gathering, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did he ever comment about the trash bag, the shovel, or the gas can?
Other than, oh, it's just some stuff. Like, he wouldn't say anything to the police or anything.
Okay. So then what happened? You're saying something about someone saw a shotgun or something?
Yeah, Nick Crum, actually. He was the one that Austin had commented, oh, do you remember what happened to the last bitch I hated? He asked when he had called me and told me, okay, tell me what you saw, Gabe, that I believe you now, that he has something to do with it. And
so Nick Crum told you that he saw a shotgun?
Yeah, he said, I know for a fact he has a sawed-off shotgun under his bed.
When did Nick tell you that?
It was a couple days before I had told Crystal about what I knew.
About the shovel?
When I had told Crystal about
it. And you told Nick about the shovel?
Yeah, I told him everything about
it. How far after when you saw it?
A few months. It was only like 2 weeks ago that all this had happened.
Okay.
Two weeks ago. And that's when I decided if I wanted to say something, because no one else was going to do it. No one else wanted to say anything.
How far, when you told Crystal and Nick about the shovel, was that months later or closer to the time you saw the shovel?
It was months later. It was just like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's like 6 months after Becky's death. Becky's death was in September.
Yeah. Okay. Because when I had told everyone told me not to say anything.
So what did Nick tell you about the shotgun?
He just told me he was really upset that Austin had said those comments and got really, really mad because he said that he knows what a creep Austin is and that Austin has something to do with it, and that he wanted me to tell him what happened because something needed to be said or done about him.
What did he think Jacob was involved in? He said he was responsible for it.
Javier, when he said that he had seen something?
No, you're saying Nick told you that he saw Jacob and the shotgun.
No, Austin. Told me Austin had the shotgun under his bed.
Okay, so Nick is telling you that Austin had the shotgun under his bed.
Yeah, that he had seen the shotgun be brought from under his bed at some point.
Did he say when?
No. But I mean, it was within the last few months.
Did he say this was at his apartment with Jacob?
Yeah.
Or some other apartment?
Yeah, it was his apartment with Jacob.
So why was Nick telling you about what he saw with Austin?
Because we were talking about what we knew. We were like swapping information because he wanted to know what I knew.
But he knew about what though?
About what I had seen in Austin's apartment.
Okay. Were you guys talking about Austin, or were you guys talking about the murder case?
We're talking about Austin.
Okay.
Because Austin had said his comment to Nick, and that's when Nick finally had told me, because he's like, dang, Austin's walking around saying these comments about this girl that had died. You know, someone normally doesn't say things like that, you know, and it's kind of connecting him to by saying, you know, remember what happened to her when I didn't know her.
So the incident that happened where Austin confronted another girl. This was your friend?
Yeah, she, he didn't really, my Nick didn't really tell me the whole thing.
But you didn't witness this incident?
No.
This is all coming from Nick.
Yeah, he called me and told me. He said, Yeah, I was at the mall with Alex, and we were talking to some girl, and she was being dumb. And Austin happened to see it, and he walked up to us and started saying those things. And he called me all upset, because I guess he had grabbed Austin and told and cussed him out, I guess, and told him to not talk like that. And,
so this is the same incident at the mall where Austin said something about the girl?
Yeah.
I mean, who was the girl? Why was he initially getting involved with this incident?
He had just seen them, but I guess they were standing in the same area, and he happened to walk by and see what was going on, and then walked up to Nick and was like, oh, hey, what's going on? You know, oh, I saw what happened.
And then he said what? Austin said what about this girl?
He said, oh, do you want me to do something about it? You remember the last bitch, what happened to her?
So, Nick just assumed he was referring to Becky?
Yeah, because that was the only other girl we knew that he had hated so much. And, I mean, that wasn't the first time he said a comment like that. He would always throw around things like that.
And he said, you remember what happened to the other girl?
Yeah.
The other girl, what, was there something else?
No, that he was just...
Do you remember what happened to the other girl?
No, the other girl being Becky, what we think he was referring to, because that's the only girl we know that he hated, and that's the only thing we have in common with him.
Okay. And Nick told you that... I know he told you that he saw the shotgun in the last few weeks, but the incident where he saw the shotgun, was that also within the last few weeks? Or was
no, that was a while back, and he just...
Any idea when?
No, no idea when. Yeah, it was quite a few months ago, because when he said, he's like, well, that, he's like, that all seems to connect to him, because you have all things that you saw, and I know for a fact he has a solid shotgun in his house, so he could have, who knows what he was doing with that, you know?
So, yeah. Have you guys come to a conclusion that you suspect Austin of doing something?
Well, yeah, because I'm not a detective. I don't know all the details, but after we had all seen those things, and with his comments and the fact that he thought it was funny that she was murdered, plus all the things we found, plus Nick knowing that he had a shot on shotgun, it's like it all kind of came together, and we're like, well, dang, it's completely possible. He's not exactly a normal person.
Any idea why Nick didn't come forward and tell us this information?
Because he said that the reason why he wouldn't say anything is because he knows the cops wouldn't do anything. So he said that he should be taken care of because the cops wouldn't do anything about it. Because they already investigated Austin, and obviously they didn't see anything wrong with him.
Yeah. So if I talk to Nick again, and I ask him about this, how am I going to talk to Nick about this without him knowing you told me? Or...
I don't know.
What if I told him that you told me? Is that going to cause a problem with
you
or you guys?
None of them wanted me to say anything. They all specifically said that I needed to not say anything because none of them wanted to come forward with anything.
But they are all friends of Becky, right?
Yeah.
So why weren't they... wants to know about this, if they're going to say that we're not doing anything and this and that.
Honestly, I've tried talking to everybody. I've been trying my hardest to get everyone to come forward with me, and everyone's just too chicken to do it. And they all told me, well, you're the one who saw the thing in his apartment. You're the one that should say something.
But you didn't see a shotgun.
Yeah. And then when he told me that, I was like, well, you should say something, because that's really important.
Is it possible that they're making this up, and that's why they're not coming forward?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think they're making something up like that. Honestly, I really don't. Too serious or something to make that.
Well, and I agree, but at the same token, I would think if it's so serious, why wouldn't they come to the police? Or at least allow the police to come to them and hear what they have to say.
Yeah. To be honest, what he had said to me was that the police... He said the police have already investigated Austin, and they obviously aren't going to do anything about it. He's like, I know people who can take care of him, because that creep, something needs to happen to that creep.
Well, who does he know who can take care of him?
Some people out of prison. I don't know. I don't know those people.
How does Nick know people like that?
I guess he used to work with them or something or other. I don't really know. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to know all the details.
Where does Mitch live again?
He lives out in Sky Valley. When I mentioned the same thing, they basically told me that I was wasting my time and that I shouldn't say anything. And I thought, you know, and I was like, I need to say something because I don't want anyone to get carried away and think they're macho men and do something dumb or whatever.
Well, did he plan on doing anything?
There's talk about it. As far as I know, nothing happened, but they always talk about it.
Who talks about it besides Nick?
Nick, and he tells the other guys about it.
What guys?
Alex and Corey and all them. Alex doesn't take him serious. He just laughs it off. He thinks that Nick should be being stupid and he's not
going to
do it.
What about Javier? Is he still friends with Nick and Corey?
No, he doesn't talk to any of us anymore.
Is Javier still down here, or did he move?
He lives in San Francisco. Yeah.
So why don't anybody talk to Javier anymore?
All they told me was that he's really like into drugs and being dumb right now, so none of them wanted to talk to him anymore because he's become something that they didn't want to part of.
That makes no sense. If Nick is going to go get people to take care of Austin, but he don't want to associate with Javier because he's using drugs and being dumb, I mean...
Yeah, well, because Nick said that it wasn't right that her family or nothing been... His exact words to me were that the cops haven't done anything, they've already investigated Austin, and it's not right that nothing's being done to help to solve the case. And he says that he knows that it's Austin, and he wanted to do something.
Well, why does he think the cops investigated Austin?
Because Austin had told us that you guys had gone to question him.
So he's getting his information from the same person he suspects of being involved?
Well, no. We knew when I guess you guys had gone to the apartment from the very, very beginning, we had already known about it from Austin. And before we even really thought about Austin having anything to do with it, we didn't start thinking that he had anything to do with it until a couple weeks after when we started finding all these weird things around the apartment.
Well... When you say the weird things, you're talking about the things in the trunk?
Yeah, the trunk, and then there was, like, packed trash bags and stuff all over the apartment.
What was in the trash bags?
He wouldn't let us, like, even go near it.
What do you think was in the trash bag?
I have no idea. Honestly, we don't know. At that point, when we kept finding all those weird things, we just left because we just, I don't know, there was something in the trunk.
I mean, is there a feasible reason for him to have... this stuff?
No.
I mean, you know, a gas can in someone's car isn't necessarily suspicious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course when someone's house gets burned down, then obviously it's more suspicious than if it wasn't.
Yeah.
A shovel in someone's car could be suspicious.
Yeah.
Trash bags.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, I've seen people put all sorts of...
Yeah.
You know, things in bags, aluminum cans, laundry, this and that.
Yeah.
You know, so some things could be suspicious, but other times they have reasonable explanations, and I'm just trying to figure out, is there a reasonable explanation?
Yeah. Well, I guess what our thought was just that, you know, all that had happened, you know, they were burnt and they were shot, I guess, all that stuff, and then that on top of that, he hated her with a passion, so, like, I don't know if he would do something like that, but he hated someone so much, I mean, okay, there's a motive, I mean, okay, he could want to do something to her, and then his comments to us about how she died and how he thought it was amusing that she died.
What did he say about that?
He would just joke about it. Like, he's like, oh yeah, that bitch got what she deserved.
Well, what did he say, what did Jake Austin say specifically about how Becky and her family died?
Well, like, one day we were in the lunchroom, and I was asking him, I was like, dang, I wonder what happened, and I was like, well, this... And he was all telling the details, oh yeah, well, the bodies were shot and then burned, and so I was like, well, and he was telling me that there was one in the front yard, one in the house room, and Becky was in the backyard. And I was like, well, I wonder, that doesn't make any sense, how would that have happened? And then he was, like, just giving me different scenarios of how it could have happened. He was like, well, what they could have done was this, 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 and this.
So he was just speculating?
Huh?
He was just speculating, giving you his theories?
Yeah, like...
I mean, he didn't stick to one theory, he said these are just... multiple things that could have happened?
I'm trying to remember exactly. Like, I think, you know what, I really can't remember.
And then you said he was glad she died?
Yeah, like, oh yeah, I don't have to see her anymore. I don't have to deal with her anymore.
He was often kind of a harsh person to begin with?
He's, like I said, he's very, very arrogant, and he thinks he's a know-it-all, so he's always putting people down, and he's always kind of rude.
So if he said, I'm glad she's dead, is that kind of a regular personality?
To be honest, even the
answer,
I would never say they were
about
someone today.
I've never met them. Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, most people wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But some people, that is their personality. And I don't know Austin. Uh-huh. I don't know his real personality.
Okay. Right?
So I'm trying to figure out is, you know, if he acts one way around you guys and acts a different way, you know, if he was to speak with me, that's all I'm asking. Is he just kind of a, I mean, you say he also puts people down, you know? I mean, if he's a shithead all the time, well, then.
Yeah. Well, because when he had said that, and I remember I was like telling him, you know, like, you should never say things like that. And that's when he kind of like was all like, straightened up, and he was like, oh, yeah, but, you know, she was stupid, and I don't like her, and blah, 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 blah. Because, like, I personally don't appreciate confidence, because I think that's rude. I think that's very disrespectful. They think so. Of course, I have to tell them. And, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you consider that a normal comment from him or not. I don't consider that normal from anybody.
Well, I don't know what's normal for him because I don't know what his normal behavior is.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that you said they were shot. How do you know that?
Because that's what he told us.
How does he know that?
He said that he read it in the newspaper, or he saw it on the news, or that's what this detective told him, or something like that. Because I didn't know anything about it. It was like the first day I found out that she had died. And he's like, oh yeah, they were shot and then burned, and they found Bessie's body in a wheelbarrow in the backyard burned. Like someone was trying to get rid of the evidence, but I guess the neighbors came out and probably caught the guy trying to burn him. So they probably just hurried up and took off so they wouldn't get caught and stuff like that.
What car does Austin drive?
He just got a new car.
Or what kind of car did he drive when the murder happened? Or is that when you're talking about he got a new car?
He switched cars like either right before or right after. I can't really remember, but they're both like I want to say Crown Victorias, but I'm not. There's something similar to that. Something around that. But he had one, and then he just bought another one, either right before or right after. I can't really remember when.
Do you know any girls who dislike Becky enough to want to cause harm to her?
No. I mean, none of us really cared for her because she wasn't the most likable individual, but no one, like, hated her.
Why was she not likable?
She was always very rude. Very, very rude when she would show. Like, one night I had a party at my house. And she had shut up at my house and was telling me what to do at my house. And she was just really rude. Like, you wouldn't expect someone to come into your house and to be telling you what to do and just take advantage of your own house. So, I mean, that's why I didn't really care for her, because I thought she was very rude. And she was never friendly, like, oh, well, thank you, or nothing. She was always very rude to us.
Where does drugs fit into all this?
I know that Becky and Javier used to smoke weed together a lot. Actually, she's the one who introduced him to it, from what I was told, because I had asked, because Javier was never into drugs or anything. And then when he started smoking pot, you know, I was asking, well, like, how did that happen? And they're like, oh, well, Becky got him to start smoking pot. And then, and so that's what they would do. They would hang out and smoke pot together. It's pretty much, I guess, what they always did. And then after everything that happened, it's like he used that as a way to like detach himself from everybody. He would constantly just be stoned. Like, every time he was in, he would be stoned. Stoned or drunk, one of the two.
Probably what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about when you said Nick and everyone kind of disassociated themselves with him?
Uh-huh.
You know, because he was being stupid and being a druggie?
Uh-huh.
When you say he's a druggie, is that because he's all stoned?
Yeah, like, you couldn't even hold a conversation with him because he was so stoned. And then when all of his friends were trying to help him and trying to help him out with, you know, dealing with what had happened, because he knew he was sad about it and he felt really bad, so everyone was trying to help him and talk to him and be friends with him, and he just would cuss everyone out and accuse them of trying to, you know, accuse them of just being jerks to him. Like, they weren't being his friends because they were telling him he was a druggie and that he needed to stop and he needed to pull himself together.
Well, what about Nick and Corey and them? Are they pot smokers?
I think Nick was at some point, but his parents found out, so he doesn't do that anymore because he gets friends with the jerk as the guy can. Corey, no, he's not a druggie at all.
I mean, I talked to most of these people, and they weren't all impressive to me. I mean, they're either a bunch of potheads or they're a bunch of alcoholics. So I'm trying to figure out why Javier is so bad, because if they're all smoking pot, then do you think?
I think it was because he got out of control with it. I mean, they did smoke a lot, but they weren't stoned 24/7. They would know when to stop or when to not, you know, be stoned. But he would go everywhere constantly, all the time, all he ever was. And you couldn't even talk to him. At one point, I didn't even want to talk to him anymore, because when you would try to talk to him, he was just not there.
Is there another person that I could talk to and get information from? Whether it's someone we talked about today or someone we haven't even mentioned their names.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like my sister might know something, like, about what I saw, but I don't know if that would make a difference to you, but,
what I'm asking is, I want to get as much information about the facts as I can, facts about everyone. So, who should I go talk to? I don't want to hear just rumors and what people think. I want to hear talk to someone who could provide factual information to help us solve this crime.
To be honest, the only person that I know the 100% fact about like, you know, about the gun, and that would be Nick.
Okay.
But you know, I've tried talking to him. I don't know how an individual way to approach him without making it look like, you know, I don't know what you guys would do to go talk to people out of the blue.
Well, there is lots of things that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
However, sometimes it's obvious to Nick. If I want to talk to Nick,
mm-hmm.
even if I waited 2 months and I want to talk to Nick,
mm-hmm.
and I start talking about the gun, he's going to start thinking, well, who would have told, you know? So it would have to be someone he told. It's probably a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of those few people, it's going to have to be someone who wanted to come forward. And obviously, you wanted to come forward because they kept telling you not to. You might be the only reasonable one in the bunch. Well, you are the only reasonable one in the bunch because you're the only one who came forward.
Mm-hmm.
All these other people, for some reason, they think it's important, but not important to come forward.
Yeah.
And then they want to badmouth the investigation, but they don't want to provide information that could be very important.
Yeah.
So I don't know if these people blowing out their brain cells from smoking pot or drinking alcohol or what.
Yeah. No.
So how can we convince Nick to come forward?
I don't know. I can start talking to him again. And I don't, you know, I really don't know if he's not exactly the most reasonable individual.
Does he know you come forward?
Nobody knows that I said anything to anybody. Not even my sister or my best friend. Just my parents and Crystal know that I said anything.
So do you want to keep this confidential?
I would like to, just because they all know where I live.
Well,
and, you know, I don't want to...
Okay, well, I mean, obviously, besides Austin, you haven't... No one else is in trouble for anything.
Yeah.
So I can't see why anyone would retaliate against you because you haven't said any bad things about anyone.
Yeah. Some people just get upset. You know, maybe they'll be, I don't know if they'd be mad at the fact that I brought their names into it. You know, I know that they want, they're trying to, like, they're basically just chicken shit. I mean, that's the only way to explain them. They have no problem.
Nick and Corey and all these people. I know who all these people are.
Yeah.
It's not like none of these people are unknown people.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of getting the truth out of them.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that I understand people that want to tell the truth, people like Nick who don't want to come forward and say information, but typically they don't badmouth the police and say they're not doing anything. You know, it's kind of...
Yeah, he's not
an oxymoron. They're not doing anything, but I'm not going to tell them something that could be very important.
Yeah. He's not exactly the most intelligent individual. Or
Well, perhaps if you can convince him to get in touch with us, that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'm going to have to figure out a plan to talk to him. I mean, I can go talk to him again and not even bring up anything, just to talk to him about Javier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I can talk to Jacob, and then I just keep going from person to person, and then some way down the road I get to Austin,
mm-hmm.
and see if he brings it up himself or not.
Yeah, I hope he does, because that's really strange, especially to me, fall off shotgun.
Well, and I want to know if it's true, and the hard point for me is, you didn't see it.
Yeah.
You're getting this information from Nick, and Nick has not told us, and so I have to determine if this is true. And if it's true, I can do things, but I can't go based on someone who heard it from someone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What about, I don't know, isn't it, because I know he has, like, other things, like that butterfly knife and stuff like that. I don't know if that... helps as far as a way to be able to approach him about having weapons in his.
Is he on probation for anything?
I have no idea. He moved here from Arizona, so no one really knows anything about him.
No, he is.
Okay.
And that's something everyone knows about him.
So I'll check in that. I just don't remember right now. Is there anything else that you think to tell me?
No, I think I told you that. I'm sorry I never came forward soon enough.
Well, better late than never.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I came to talk to you at work, and rather waiting until you're at home or something. Not that I knew where you live, but...
Yeah.
This is my card, so you can call me on my office number.
Uh-huh.
Right here in the bottom if you think of anything.
Mm-hmm.
If something comes up, if you have any questions, you can call me and say, hey, you know, I want to tell you something else, or, hey, I'm going to talk to Neil if you have any suggestions. Okay?
Yeah.
I can work with you just about regarding anything. You know, I can give you a suggestion. If you have a problem, you call me and we can work something out and figure out what's the best way to get the truth.
Yeah.
Okay?
I just hope he doesn't act and do something stupid to Austin. I really... He's very much a very aggressive individual, especially when he's doing that about things. He's not very intelligent. He doesn't.
What's he gonna wait for? I mean, how long does he need to wait for that?
I don't know. I mean, he could be all talk and just trying to pump himself up. He could be dead serious, and you just don't think he is.
Who is Nick dating now?
She's from Vernon, Jessica, but she lives in Nebraska, so she's in the States.
Okay. Who's Nick's best friend?
I'd probably... He's always with Alex. All the time, they're always together.
Where is Alex from, do you know?
He lives in Pacific City, not too far from Javier, actually. He lives in Tucson.
So, Javier's old house.
Yeah, where they used to live there.
So, does the whole family live up there?
The family's good?
Yeah, his mom.
Huh. I'm not sure. I think just he moved up there because I remember Alex was supposed to go with him at some point. They were planning to move there together.
They have relatives up there or something?
I just know that his mom was always back and forth because I think they had a house up there as well. Mm-hmm. And they were, and his sister was moved up there too.
Mm-hmm.
So always back and forth.
Well, how did Jacob and Austin get along? If Jacob is dating Becky, Austin hates Becky, why would you be roommates with someone?
Well, I think because he didn't start dating her until after the fact they had become roommates, because they kind of just found each other. I know Jacob did not like Austin at all, because they became roommates by just like, oh, I need a roommate. Oh, hey, be my roommate. And then Jacob realized what a creep he was, and was like, I got the worst roommate ever.
So they weren't
close or anything, no. They were just strictly roommates, strictly business.
Do you know Austin's cell phone number?
I have it on my cell phone.
Okay. Where is that at?
It's at my desk.
Okay. Do you think later, after you're done with work, later tonight, you can call this number?
Uh-huh.
And you'll get my voicemail?
Mm-hmm.
You can just say, hey, this is Austin's cell phone number, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then when I come in the morning, I'll get it. And I just want to keep it. Because I need it. I may already have it. But I want to make sure I have the same number that he gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure he ain't lying. Anything else?
I can't think of anything else right now.
Okay.
I can't remember the best of my ability. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. You said what you had to say. It's my job to piece it together and find out what's what. Okay,
yeah.
So you call me if there's anything else, even if you think it's insignificant. Okay, because if it's insignificant, it's insignificant. Okay?
Yeah.
And you'll move on. But it might be important. You might not realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured it's better to be wrong than it would be to be right and not say anything at all.
Nope, that's true. And you'll have to figure out how to get Nick to be honest and come forward with this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll try my best. But.
Do you think he could be just BSing and trying to, he don't like Austin, so he's giving him a bad rap?
No, he's always been pretty, I mean, I don't know as far as the cause, like, if he was honest with you guys, but he's usually always been pretty honest and upfront with all of them. Like, he's always said what he has to say, and, I mean, yeah.
All right. Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah. Yes,
what's that number?
Same as my home number.
Oh, this is a cell number.
Yeah,
because
I'm never at home, so
okay.
That's the best way to reach me.
Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Kelly Barron's Brink and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design, and you can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com. where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kay Woodyomnik, Ginger Fiola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. And for all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. And I can be found personally on all forms of social media @BobRuffTruth. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.
The Ford Ranger, a vehicle for all terrains and every passion. It's a workmate, a playmate, and to its drivers, a soulmate. So how do you improve the Ford Ranger? You go all in. The all-new Ford Ranger, the UK's best-selling pickup. Now available with rear bumper steps, tailgate workbench, and enlarged load box that can fit a Euro pallet. Go break it in. Search all-new Ford Ranger. Ford Pro. Driving productivity. According to SMMT data, features may be optional extras with additional cost.